This is Radioactive Magazine, a KKFI public affairs program of progressive activism, opinion, and commentary. Opinions expressed on this program are those of the speakers alone and are not necessarily the views of KKFI, its staff, volunteers, board of directors, show hosts, or other guests on the program.
Okay, this is Craig Lubo, and thank you for joining us on Radioactive Magazine. Our engineer, Bill Claus, is trying to get our guest on the line. Our guest is going to be Howard Spiva. Howard is an attorney, and one of the things he does, he has a charity that he set up relating to bicycle safety, and he has kind of become a bicycle expert dealing with brain injuries to children as well as adults, but mostly to children. And his charity gives out thousands of helmets throughout the country. So he's going to be joining us in just a moment on that. Okay, so we've got a couple of news items. Okay, the news item relates to Supreme Court released. So our news item, Supreme Court released an opinion. Well, they actually released several opinions, but one of the opinions relates to church-state issue. And the case involved a case that arose in Missouri, where Missouri barred a church from applying for funds, grant money that was available to construct a playground at the church. And so the court held that the funds, that the appellate court held that Missouri could do that, but the Supreme Court reversed that and held that they had that violated basically free exercise. So that was a 7-2 decision, I believe. And so you had actually a couple of the so-called liberal justices joining them. It was a very narrow decision, and it was because of the it was due to the fact that it was funding that was for a non-religious purpose. And so the court held that because of that, they cannot deny that. I'm going to turn it over this second. I don't think, Howard, are you there?
Hello? Yes, sir.
Oh, he's there. Okay. All right. Sorry we had those problems getting you on. So
don't worry.
I already introduced you. And so let me have you tell us a little bit about you've done a lot of cases involving personal injury that relates to brain injuries, and that's partly, if I understand, that was partly how you got involved in creating this charity to help bicycle riders stay safe. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. And, you know, we don't just limit it to bicycle riders, but, you know, what happened was I've been practicing now for going on 30 years. Back in 1999, you know, 18 years ago, I'd been practicing about 15 years, and my sister was my paralegal, and my wife was the office manager. My sister's since passed away, but we were walking through the office, and, you know, we had verdicts and pictures of clients we'd given checks to and that sort of thing. And my sister said, you know, there's a lot of kid pictures on the wall. So we put all the pictures together, and it ended up being about 30 or 40 kids. And while we're standing there, we had kind of a life-changing moment. We recognize that every single one of those injuries were preventable. And we said, you know, we can't go forward without doing something to prevent traumatic brain injuries to children because it just devastates the lives. So we started, we went out, we bought helmets, we partnered up with a pediatrician's office and started giving them away. And now, years later, we have other lawyers in other states joining us. We've given away tens of thousands and thousands of helmets. We have a board of directors, we have volunteers, we participate in all sorts of activities and parades and schools and churches. And so we promote safety and the prevention of traumatic brain injuries through the use of helmets.
Okay. And roughly, if the kids all have helmets, and I assume this would be kind of similar situation with adults in terms of percentages, if they're wearing helmets, what percentage of the brain injuries from your research would be preventable?
Well, this is what I found. When they, you know, we started looking around, when we started doing a lot of reading, a lot of studies and looking at things, and, you know, the first thing we noticed was, you know, skateboards, bicycles, baseball, football, you know, pretty much every activity that's risky, karate, motorcycles that kids involve themselves in, and even adults, you know, with adults you talk about, you know, soldiers and football players and firemen and so forth, they wear helmets. And, you know, when we were kids, we would have thought it was kind of not tough and you were a sissy if you wore a helmet. But, you know, I mean, bull riders wear helmets this day and time. And for the kids, to make it cool for the kids, you know, we show them everything from, you know, the Avengers, the Batman, Darth Vader. And for the little kids, we show, like, you know, Paw Patrol and Dora the Explorer. And we show kids Power Rangers. We show kids that helmets are cool. But what we learned, two factors. One is the Center for Disease Control says that the number one cause of traumatic brain injuries in children under five is in car wrecks. And that results from many states having mandated helmets on bicycles. And when they mandated helmets in some states, about half the states now mandate it, and a lot of states, they wear them without it being mandated. But when bicycle helmets came about, the Pediatric Association and the Center for Disease Control said that traumatic brain injuries went down 75% and fatalities and deaths went down 85%. So we really are proponents for kids wearing helmets anywhere that, you know, is a risky activity.
Okay. And so what are you doing to get kids and parents to put helmets on kids in cars too? Because I'll have to say, I don't know that I've ever seen the child wearing a helmet inside a car.
We've been doing that since 1999 because, as I said, the number one cause of traumatic brain injuries in children are in car wrecks. And what we saw the most of in our practice is rear-ended, it's a minor wreck, the back of the parent's seat breaks, and either the headrest or the back of the parent's head smashes in the skull or the forehead of the child. And we believe that that is, you know, 85% preventable deaths and 75% preventable for brain injuries. And studies by the Pediatric Associations show that. Now, understand, I am not for mandating helmets for people and for kids in cars, because I don't think we need any more government in our lives. But when parents learn that, you know, a helmet, a plastic helmet, can prevent a brain injury or can prevent a death, you know, they're often wanting to encourage their kids. And when the kids come to our events and they see helicopter pilots and combat soldiers and police officers on motorcycles and firemen wearing helmets, then they get the message that helmets are cool. They see us in parades with, you know, kids on bicycles and skateboards and so forth. We show them Dora the Explorer, Power Paws, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and we get them in the mindset that helmets are cool. So you're putting a child in the child safety seat and say, hey, you want to be Batman or you want to be a karate girl, or, you know, you want to be Thor or you want to be a policeman. And, you know, I'll tell you this. When I was researching the law in Missouri, there was a Missouri state law does not require helmets on kids. Now, there's a lot of counties in Missouri that does require helmets on kids under certain ages. And then, you know, a lot of folks are kind of with the safety movement. They're wearing helmets already on bicycles. But what I found was interesting is I was reading an article where there was a push back in 2015 where some guys were traveling on motorcycles and they were supposed to go through several states. And they ended up going around Missouri because they didn't want to have to put their helmets on. And they were going through Kansas and Oklahoma and Arkansas that did not require motorcycle helmets. And in that particular article, the governor, it was Jay Nixon, had research that showed that when they did away with helmets on motorcycles in Florida, that the cost to treat patients doubled to $44 million a year, and that the study showed that the cost of treating motorcycle accidents for people in not wearing helmets cost $250 million a year more than people that were in motorcycle accidents with helmets on. So the literature and the studies show that helmets prevent injuries, whether it's a kid in the back seat or someone on a bicycle or someone on a motorcycle. And, of course, that's a decision that an adult has to make for themselves. But anyway, so we like to educate the parents, and then we like to have the kids see that, you know, helmets are cool. Like I said, you know, there's a lot of superheroes out there. You know, there's a lot of real-life heroes. And, you know, football players and baseball players and, you know, Batman and Darth Vader, and you show them all that, and next thing you know, we'll put stickers on the helmets so that they look cool and make the kids want that. And so that's what we're about, is educating the parents and encouraging the kids.
Okay. Now, a lot of people, I think, can relate to the idea that their children will be safer with helmets on bicycles. But when it comes to the cars and the statistics you cited, do they know if what the problem is with the cars? And specifically, I'm thinking, are the kids that are getting the majority of these brain injuries in the cars, are they kids who have not been properly restrained with a seatbelt and properly restrained and facing the proper direction when they're in car seats?
Well, first of all, you're right. A child in a child safety seat is going to be much safer than a child not in a safety seat. A child in a rear-facing child safety seat is going to be much safer than a child in a forward-facing. However, the most kids, you know, it's mandated by law, and most kids are in a child safety seat when they're in a wreck and when they receive a brain injury. And like I said, right now, the number one cause of brain injuries in children under five is in a car wreck. So, you know, yes, it will restrain them, but it doesn't stop the seat coming backwards. It doesn't stop in a serious side impact. It doesn't prevent the child's head from swinging hard one way or the other, which can hit the frame of the car or can hit, you know, the glass window. But, I agree with it was an excellent question. I agree that, you know, if you place the child where they're supposed to be, you know, perhaps between the seats facing backwards, that you greatly lower their risk, but it still happens because of, you know, getting thrown around in a car. It can be, you know, sometimes car safety seats fail. Sometimes the impact is so severe the child is thrown around inside the car just as any passenger would be. And it's the striking of the head that the helmet prevents the brain injury.
Okay. And is the solution, is it to have the kids in helmets, or do we need to change the standards and improve the standards for how the child safety seats are made?
I think there's several solutions. One is, the one that I think is number one, is the car manufacturers making the seats that don't collapse in a wreck, because that is what I see as the biggest cause. Because if the seat back collapses, no matter which way the child is facing, the child doesn't have to hit their forehead to get a subdural hematoma, a brain bleed, or a fractured skull. They can catch that impact from any direction. The second thing is, I think that I don't have any criticism of the way child safety seats are made. My criticism would be of people properly placing the child seat in the car and properly attaching it. You know, sometimes seat belts fail. They fail on regular passengers and they fail on car safety seats. You know, to me, here's my thought on it. You know what? If the number one cause is in a car wreck, and we just named baseball, football, karate, you know, all of these sports, skateboarding. I was out in Colorado Christmas, and there were people on skis, snowmobiles, snowboards, snow bikes, you know, everybody out there was wearing helmets. Well, race car drivers wear helmets, and they're in the safest cars that exist. And so I think that the option to the parent, just like they automatically put a helmet when they put a child on a bicycle, I think that's pretty universal whether there's a state law or not. I think most parents are going to require their kids to wear a helmet because it only makes sense. It's eliminating, you know, 3 out of 4 injuries, and it's eliminating 85% of deaths. So I think that that option is there for the parents as well, just to have a helmet right there. Like I said, you know, what we do is we put, you know, stickers and paint the helmets and so forth when we give them away. And we have a Helmets for Life program where what we do is once the child gets a helmet from us, we take their picture. They get a birthday card every year with their picture on it, and it says, hey, you know, it's time to upgrade your helmet. Or if they get in a bicycle wreck and they damage their helmet, we replace it at no cost to the parents or the family, because we believe that it can prevent an injury. And, you know, some parents, if they go out and buy a $200 or $300 bike, it's a bit of a expense for them to fork out another $49-$50 at a bike shop. They can go to Target or some department store and get them for about $29, and go to Walmart and get them for about $19. We buy certified helmets, and we buy them in such volume that we get them for $5 a piece. And like I said, we've started an ambassador program. We've got several other law firms have joined us, two of them out in Texas, and we're just going to spread across the country and just have lawyers and pediatricians and doctors and anyone that wants to have this program going on where they provide helmets to kids.
Okay. And in terms of, you mentioned that you are not in favor of mandating legally that parents use helmets on their kids in the cars. What about, well, two questions. You also said in Missouri they don't have a law, but some counties do. How do they enforce it then? Because, you know, if you're in the rural area or even urban areas, you're generally traveling through multiple counties. If you travel any distance, you know, if you're going more than 5 or 10 miles away from home.
Yeah, well, the different counties have different standards. Like they might say everybody under 16 has to wear a helmet, or everybody under 12 has to wear a helmet. Some counties say everywhere, everybody has to wear a helmet, and they enforce it just like any other, you know, any other violation. If they, you know, like bicycles, there in Missouri, you know, they're held to the same standard as a car. I mean, if they're, you know, riding in the wrong lane, or they blow a stop sign or something, you know, they can get cited the same way. And so, you know, what they do is if they catch you, the places usually that mandate helmets, what they'll do is they'll, if it's someone, I think the age is 16 or 17. If they're over 17, they give them a ticket, and the ticket is like $5 to $25. They just give them a ticket, and then they usually dismiss the ticket if you come in and show a receipt of having bought a helmet. And then for kids under that age, they can confiscate the bike and hold it, I think, for 5 days as punishment.
So the counties that have that apply just to the bicycles, or do some of them apply that to children riding in cars?
No, there is nowhere in the country that requires kids to wear them in the cars. This concept, even though we created the charity and we learned these facts and we've been promoting this since 1999. There, other than the law firms that have joined us, I've never been able to find a single entity, charity, anything who provides helmets for kids to wear in cars. It's a concept that is just, it's not caught on. In 18 years, nobody's went, hey, you know, deaths went down 85%, brain injuries went down 75% when we started mandating helmets on bicycles, and the number one cause of brain injuries is in car wrecks. Nobody ever put it together like peanut butter and chocolate and said, hey, you got a good idea here. And so that's what we've been doing, and that's why we started the ambassador program. Is people in Savannah know it because they see us in parades, they see us in community events, they see us at churches, they see us at schools. We're constantly promoting it, and getting the word out. But across the country, you know, you'll see all the time doctors' offices, lawyers, charities, you know, they'll have bicycle licenses, bicycle helmet giveaways, but this idea is just not caught on anywhere. Even though I do radio shows all over the country talking about this, it gets a lot of pushback. You know, we don't want to bubble wrap our kids. We don't want any more regulations in our lives. It's stupid. I mean, that's the kind of response that the people that are against it. But a lot of people, it's like a light bulb goes off, and it's really starting to catch on, but it's just not something that has, you know, gotten the national attention that would get any kind of movement on it.
Okay, and you mentioned, we talked about some of the percentages and what percentage of the injuries can be prevented. Can you just go through quickly some of the statistics as far as how many brain injuries occur each year, how many are children, and that type of information?
The exact numbers are not usually available on a state-by-state basis. Most of the information that we get is through the Center for Disease Control. And, you know, the last time I looked, the head injuries was around 2 million head injuries a year. You know, that article that I saw that Governor Nixon had some research on about where they were trying to repeal the helmet law on motorcycles back in 2015, and they were using the number of injuries and so forth. It contained a lot of facts and figures because, you know, one brain injury, if the person, you know, there's mild brain injury, which usually, you know, you'll get some executive function, some memory problems, that sort of thing. But if you don't know the person, you don't know that they have a brain injury unless you give them a test, or maybe a kid hits around the eighth grade when they start using executive function. Then you've got moderate, where, you know, they have a hard time maybe talking and remembering stuff, and you'll notice that there's something about them. And then severe is where basically, you know, they're living on life support or they have to live in a nursing home. You know, just one person at a moderate to severe can cost millions of dollars to care for a year. And, you know, so I can't say to you for certain that there are 2 million brain injuries a year, but that's the numbers that I have seen. And, you know, as I mentioned from that article, the people who have head injuries versus who have head injuries and are wearing a helmet versus people that are having head injuries that aren't wearing a helmet on motorcycles, it's $240 million a year in life care for the people who were not wearing a helmet than it was over the people who were wearing a helmet. But those numbers on bicycles went down 75%, and that's been over, you know, almost two decades.
And are adults, when they're injured on a bike, if they're not wearing a helmet, do they have the same level of susceptibility to brain injuries, or are children more prone to it because of development issues?
You know, I think from the numbers that I've seen, I think the percentage of brain injuries is about the same in adults as it is in children. The difference is children are pretty vigilant and have a high level of recovery because their brain is still developing, and it may cause some deficits, but they learn to cope with it. An adult whose brain is fully developed, you know, after around their early 20s, you know, they have much, much, much lower recovery. And so I think that the likelihood or susceptibility of getting a brain injury is pretty even between a kid and an adult. The exception would be if you're on a bicycle with a small child, you know, like in a little bike seat. But I think you know, when you start getting up to, you know, 10 years and older, I think that the chances of getting a brain injury are about the same as it would be for, like, a 20-year-old.
Okay. And I want to make sure before we go on, because we just have a couple minutes left,
sure,
you'll give us the name of your charity and the website that people can go to if they want more information?
Absolutely, I'd be proud to. The name of the charity is the Justice for Children Foundation. You'll see our logo. That's kind of cool. It's a scale of justice made into a smiley face. And the website is headsinhelmets.com, just like, you know, heads, H-E-A-D-S-N-I-N, helmets.com. But if somebody goes in and types in, you know, Attorney Spiva or helmets in cars or just anything that we've talked about, it'll come up. We've got a pretty good presence on the Internet. But headsinhelmet.com, and they can go there and read about it. And if they have any questions or anything, you know, if anyone wants to start their own charity or wants to know information about it, they can contact us, and we would be more than happy to help.
All right. That's all the time we have tonight. For those who just joined us, we've been talking to Howard Spiva, and he's been talking about brain injuries in mostly in children but also adults, and particularly from bicycles as well as cars, and tips on preventing that. Thank you, Howard.
It's my pleasure and honor. And if I can ever be of any service, please feel free to call on me.
All right. Thank you.